Amen.
The Lutheran Hour is made possible each week through the support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support and extend the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour, go to LutheranHour.org. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.
Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods. 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a civic media station.
Today's radio broadcast from Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls is sponsored in loving memory and happy birthday to our dad, Melvin Pedersen, from his children, David and Sally Zesch, and Marilyn and Roger Sherwinski. The members of Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls now invite you to join them in their regular Sunday morning service of worship, now in their 72nd year of broadcasting. Peace Lutheran Church offers these services in order to bring the comfort and instruction of God's holy word to the sick, the shut-in, and the traveler. Today, using Divine Service, Setting 1, page 151, hymns today are sung from the Lutheran Service Book, number 457, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Number 482, This Joyful Easter Tide. Number 642, O Living Bread from Heaven. Number 466, Christ Has Risen, Hallelujah. And number 475, Good Christian Friends, Rejoice and Sing. Following the opening hymn, Pastor Samuel Morshing will lead the congregation in worship. The sermon theme is Seeing the Lord. The sermon text is John 20. 1-18. We take you now to the sanctuary of Peace Lutheran Church.
invite the congregation to continue by speaking with me responsibly the introit for the day. I awake and I am still with you, hallelujah. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me.
Glory be to God.
And I am still with you, hallelujah.
You lay your hand upon me, hallelujah.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
It is high, I cannot
attain. Please stand as we pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer you their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Life. We humbly pray that we may live before you in righteousness and purity forever through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
The veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join with me in reading the gradual. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. The epistle lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 25. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are all of people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and all power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation, please stand as you are able, as we continue with our Alleluia and verse. Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite the congregation to be seated at this time.
Thank you.
At this time, I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message at this time. So glad that you have been able to join me this morning. I'm holding something here in my hands.
Easter egg.
And we hear some of you call it an Easter egg, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And what's on this Easter egg?
A cross.
A cross, right? So we have an Easter egg with a cross. Now, did any of you have Easter baskets that you found already this morning?
No.
Oh, some of you found them, and some of you might not have yet. Okay, so some of us have to wait till after church, which is okay. But do Easter baskets have Easter eggs in them? Yeah, sometimes. A lot of the time, I think they do. Now, what are Easter eggs good for? Why do we like Easter eggs? Why might you like the Easter egg? Why do you?
Because it can open.
It opens, right?
It has candy.
And when you open them, what do they typically have?
Candy.
Candy inside. So should we open this one and see this morning?
Yeah.
It is It's empty this morning. Is that a really good Easter egg? No, not an Easter egg, not when we're expecting candy. But is it just like Jesus' tomb this morning? Yeah. The Easter egg that I have is like Jesus' tomb because they went to the tomb and what did they find in the tomb?
Nothing.
Nothing because it was empty. Because Jesus had risen. What's more important, an Easter egg that's full of candy or a tomb that's empty for you? What's more important?
When it's full.
When it's full, well, we might think that because we really enjoy our candy. But what's most important? The tomb that's empty. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose and was victorious, and he gives to you that same victory. So someday, if you die, like other people you know have died, right? And they bury you, what's going to happen? Jesus is going to raise you from the dead, and you too will have an empty tomb. And those that have died before us, their tombs also will be emptied because God, through Jesus, gives us life. So yeah, if you get an Easter egg and you actually happen to find that it might be empty, remember that Jesus had an empty tomb for you. And because his tomb is empty, you have life. Please join me in folding our hands as we pray an echo prayer with our congregation members and visitors. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the empty tomb.
Thank you for the empty tomb.
And the risen Jesus Christ.
And the risen Jesus Christ.
Thank you that I too have victory over death.
Thank you that I too have victory over death.
And will live with you for eternity.
And will live with you for eternity.
Through my Savior Jesus.
Through my Savior Jesus.
In his name I pray.
In his name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much, boys and girls. And I do have treats for you, and I believe these are not empty treats, though. So God's blessings as you go back, and our congregation continues and sings hymn 482. Sermon this morning comes from the gospel text of John, the 20th chapter. It's the morning time, and at camp there was a waking up morning song that I was able to sing as a camper and as a camp counselor, and it was a fun little song and maybe has a part that people don't always expect. Even never hearing the song, there's some times where you maybe have an idea of what that song might sound like or could sound like, and this one has a fun section that children tended to enjoy. Way up in the sky, the little birds fly. Way down in the nest, the little birds rest. With a wing on the left and a wing on the right, the little birds sleep all through the night. Shh, they're sleeping! The bright sun comes up, the dew goes away. Good morning, the little birds say. So, were you expecting that? Probably not. And yet, we as humans, we have a lot of expectations, some of them realistic and some of them not so realistic. Human philosophy had expected that as humanity advanced and we were in through the industrial age, industrial revolution, we're making advances in science and literature and all kinds of things, that humanity was just going to keep getting better. Any of you know what kind of popped that balloon? Well, two world wars in quick succession kind of set that one straight. No, humanity was not really getting better, not when millions were killed due to hatred and envy, and others millions killed in the conflict itself. The idea, the expectation that we're just gonna get better as the human race, well, it proved to be quite false. So, sometimes we have expectations that we can count on, but sometimes and many times we have some expectations that are not fulfilled. And thankfully, in our gospel story, we have expectations that were not fulfilled that morning. As we listened and heard our gospel lesson, we heard about Mary Magdalene, how she and some others were going to the tomb that morning. And there was an expectation that they would have difficulty upon their arrival, because what would be hindering their activities that they were planning to do? There was going to be a stone that had been rolled in front of the tomb, hindering them. But then they get there, and then they find that the stone has been removed. It certainly was not what they were expecting. And then, having seen that the stone was removed, they found something else that was unexpected. So much so that they run and go to Simon Peter and John, the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and say to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb." That was unexpected, and we do not know where they have laid him. Their expectation was that we're going to go to the tomb, we're going to have to move this stone, and there we will do what needs to be done to the body of our dear Lord and friend Jesus. But no, that's not what happened. So, we have Peter and John, they've received this message, and well, that's not what they expected either. They run to the tomb, and when they get there, there are more things that are just unexpected. They get there, John first, he looks in and he sees the linen cloths that had covered Jesus. They're lying there in the tomb. If somebody's taken the body, do you take the time to unwrap it and just leave the linen cloths in the tomb? Well, that would be completely unexpected, right? No, you'd just pick it up and be on your way. But there they are, the grave cloths in the tomb. And then, as Peter arrives, he goes into the tomb. They make note that not only are the cloths there, but even the face cloth, and that's been folded and is set on its own. certainly not what they had expected to find in a tomb that had been robbed of the body. We hear, John records, that then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. He comes in there, and he sees and he believes. It wasn't what he expected. They didn't fully understand, but here it was. So John and Peter, they go back, but now we have Mary there, and she is still weeping in the midst of her expectations, expecting that she will probably never see Jesus again, never find his body. But unexpectedly, two angels appear in the tomb, one sitting at the head, one sitting at the feet of where Jesus had laid. And they ask her the question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Isn't that kind of obvious? You know, there's a tomb, it's empty. And we weep and we mourn for those that we miss, that we've loved, who have died. And on top of that, now there's a missing body. Her explanation is quite simple. "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Her expectation is, yes, they've taken him away and they've laid his body someplace. So it's quite easy to see how the unexpected would happen for Mary now. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus, but, well, she did not know that it was Jesus. Her expectations were that Jesus were, well, that he was still dead, that he was a body that was laying someplace, not an individual who would be standing behind her speaking to her. And he asks again the same question, "Woman, why are you weeping? And whom are you seeking?" And John fills us in on Mary's thoughts. Well, supposing that he was the gardener, she speaks to him and says, "Well, sir, if you have carried away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And then what she was not expecting certainly occurs. Jesus says her name, Mary, and suddenly it's revealed to her what has happened. And she cries out in Aramaic, "Rabboni, teacher, it's you." This isn't what she thought she would come to find that day, but yet, how wonderful it is. What a great, unexpected occurrence. Here she has in front of her the risen Savior, her Lord Jesus Christ. And what do you tend to do when you get excited and there's something that you just were so thrilled about? I know I've seen kids do it when they open up a present. What do? You take it and then you grab it and you hug it tight and you're not gonna let it go, right? In some ways, it seems as though Mary is doing this. For Jesus says to her, "Do not cling to me, but rather I have things to do. I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Go to my brothers. Go to the disciples and tell them this. There are things to do. And when you are filled with such joy, when you're so thrilled with what you did not expect has happened, it's hard not to go and tell other people. Mom, Dad, look what I just got. Peter, John, I saw him. I saw Jesus. He was there at the tomb. He's alive. What a day full of unexpected events, and how wonderful it is that you and I, we also experience the unexpected because of Jesus, that when we see the Lord, we know the change that he has brought, not only to us, but to all of the world. There are many who believe of this world that you live, you're born, and you grow, and you are living, and then you die, and that's the end of your existence. Jesus, he tells us, no, that's not the end of your existence. Death does not have victory. Death was not victorious over him, and death will not be victorious over you, because he has defeated death. How unexpected is that in our world when we still suffer the loss of those that we love through accidents, bodies wearing out, cancer, and other sicknesses. We have to say goodbye, and it seems so final. And yet, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever believes in me will never die. That is what the world just does not expect. That we have a Lord and Savior who came and humbled himself, went to the cross, bore all of our infirmities, took all of our sins upon himself, so that we might have life and have it to the full. That is what you and I are celebrating today, that we get to see Jesus in the words that he has left for us through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We hear of his victory and the victory that he gives to each one of us as we believe in him. We see our Heavenly Father come to us in the sacraments, where we receive once again forgiveness of our sins in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. We see Jesus coming with his victory, and we see that he shares it with us. Not only with us, but this is a victory for all humanity, for all the world. And we're called to be like Mary, filled with joy over what is not expected. Life from Jesus in the midst of a world filled with death. Be emboldened by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Speak words that others would not expect. Speak about the forgiveness that God has won for them through Jesus. Speak about the life that they have today, tomorrow, and for all of eternity. Some people, it's going to be hard to believe because they certainly don't expect it. And yet, our Heavenly Father, He does the unexpected. And we see that in Jesus Christ. May you see the Lord and the promises that He has won for you. May you speak boldly of these promises to others so that they would see their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and have faith. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard our hearts and minds firmly in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, I invite the congregation to please stand as we speak and confess the faith that we have in our Heavenly Father, what He has done for us and what He will be doing for us.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, whom with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is told by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We pray to our Heavenly Father who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Almighty God, You kept Your promise and delivered up Your own Son to be our Savior. By His sacrificial death, our sins are forgiven, and by His rising again, we have the hope of everlasting life. Keep us in this holy joy throughout the Easter season and all our daily lives, that we may not fear our enemies, nor give into the temptation of despair in our days of trouble. Lord, in Your mercy, You have brought us to this new day of hope and joy through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hinder the enemies of Your gospel that this Easter message may be proclaimed to all people in every place and bring many to faith. Lord, in Your mercy, have mercy on the sick and those in need, especially Rick, Glenn, Wayne, Teddy, Tracy, Leon. Let the dying light of the new creation in Christ sustain them in faith. In accord with Your will, grant them renewed health, a foretaste of their eternal healing in Him. Lord, in Your mercy, give us joy in Your Son's great victory feast as He shares it with us from this altar, in the eating of His true body and the drinking of His precious blood in faith. Overcome our sin by His forgiveness and swallow up our death in His life, that we may be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Lord, in Your mercy,
We praise your holy name, O Lord, for all your servants who have departed this life in faith. And we ask that you not abandon us to show that when we awake in the resurrection of all flesh, your presence will give us joy. We ask that you especially give this joy to the family and friends of Abigail Murte. Lord, in your mercy, we join today in singing eternal anthems with innumerable angels in festival gathering, with the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and with the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And we bring these petitions before you, dear Father, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
At this time, our offerings are gathered and presented. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You see Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified.
He has risen. He is not here."
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore saying and praising you. For you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice.